Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 73 of the Crick Picks podcast. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter. And with me, of course, as always, is Estelle Vasudevan, who you can find at Estelle_Vasudev, the number one on Twitter. And then this week, we don't have Jared, but we've got Varun Alvaconda with us, who you can find literally nowhere. He doesn't have a great digital footprint. And just a quick briefing for those of you who are new to Crick Picks. What we do on this show is that we take any generic cricket category and we draft our top 15 for that cricket category. So top five each in a snake style draft competition. So the pick order goes 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1. And sometimes what we do is that we combine to form teams of 12. And that's kind of what we have on the menu for today as well. The topic or the title basically is all-time global test team. And the conditions are that you can pick any player from any test team, but a maximum of one per test team, one player per test team. So it's an interesting exercise. I'm quite excited for it. I do have third pick for this one, though. And Estelle, the queen of first picks, will do the honors. Let's do it, Estelle.
Yeah, so I will go with... your reactions. I'm going to go with Glenn McGrath as my first pick. So I'm taking Australia off the table right away. Nice. Glenn McGrath.
Yeah, I had him. I had him in my perfect 12. I don't know about you, Varun, because you might have had the Don. But when I was making my team, I was like, maybe we need an Australian bowler over here.
Mm-hmm. No, I think for me, I was like, it's harder to find great fast bowlers than it is finding number threes. I think there's some other countries where you could go number three.
Yeah.
I'll never be upset with picking bowlers, Behram. I'm like, come on.
True. Plus, the record is outstanding, right? 563 wickets in 124 test matches at 21.64. That was his bowling average, which is ridiculous. And his economy, like, I mean, that doesn't really matter much in test cricket as much as it does in limited overs. Mm. But like, it was really hard to score runs off McGrath. He was inch perfect with respect to his accuracy. The sort of bowler where you could just put a coin on the pitch and be like, okay, Glenn, or Pidge, keep hitting that coin, and he'd probably do that.
Yeah, also, like, if you look at his match factor, it's like 1.6. Mm. So, like, he's just almost exclusively just bowling on flat pitches most of his career. Yeah. Right? And he just gets better. That's the interesting thing about him.
Absolutely. I mean, I feel like, you know, the older he got, the tougher he got to face, even. And he is the best fast bowler to come out of Australia. I think that's a fair claim. But anyway, Stell has taken Australia off the board. And Varun, that means it's your turn now. Let's see what direction you take.
Yeah, so I think before we started this, we were like, what's the best strategy? Go weak first or strong team first? I went weak teams first because I was like, they're hard. It's like, because then you can, the stronger teams have more variety. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was like, that's why I was like, with Australia, that's why I was like, I wasn't going to pick them first. Uh-huh. So like, going with the weak team, I'm going with Andy Flower from Zimbabwe.
Oh man, you stole my pick.
Yeah.
You stole my pick.
The question I want to ask is, there is a big disparity between him and the second best cricketer. You'd probably say is Heath Streak, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. But like, if you need also a wicketkeeper, like you really don't look elsewhere.
Thing with Andy Flower is you could make a very good argument. He's in an all-time 12 anyway, even without this condition.
Yes.
Right?
No, absolutely. I mean, there's so much that you get. You get a really, really good wicketkeeper, but that's like the least of his powers or the weakest of his powers, I feel. Because the man has 4,794 runs in 63 tests and he's averaging 51.54 with the bat as a wicketkeeper, which is unheard of. 12 hundreds and 27 fifties to his name and terrific player of spin, left-handed bat, a master of the sweep shot. So yeah, I mean, there's a reason he was my first pick because I felt like, you know, A, you get Zimbabwe off the table and then your pick is Andy Flower. It really is a win-win.
Yeah. And it's not a weak pick, right? Like Varun mentioned, I think he picked him in some kind of global something 12 before as well, because he does arguably make it into a all-time 11 anyway. So I had him as my Zimbabwean pick as well, because he was like the easiest one to go with.
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't have been surprised if he was actually first pick over here. Because had I been number one, I would have gone Andy Flower. But anyway, he's gone, McGrath's gone, and Zimbabwe and Australia are gone. And that means that now I have two picks in a row. So for my first pick, I will go for an opening batter. And I'm going to England. Mm-hmm. Let's go with Jack Hobbs.
Okay.
5,410 runs in 61 test matches at an astronomical batting average of 56.94. He's got 15 hundreds and 28 50s in test cricket. But then you can't talk about Jack Hobbs and not mention his first-class record, right? He has the most hundreds in the history of first-class cricket, which the number as per Cricinfo is a whopping 199. But I remember Jared telling me that there's no correct way to tell what that number actually
is. It's either 197 or 199.
Yeah.
That's the...
So we're going to go with 199. Yeah.
Sounds better, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, he opened in 54 out of his 61 test matches as well. And if I remember the numbers correctly, he was even better when he opened the batting. So, yeah, I mean, pretty straightforward pick for me. And England is off the table in plus.
You said... When you said England and opening batter, I thought you were going in a different direction because you have a favorite. But...
Yes, of course I do. Big fan of the chef. But I mean, look, I think a lot of this has to be attributed to Jared's book, The Art of Batting. I don't have my copy yet, but we've had so many conversations around it and done so many podcasts on it at this point that, you know, instantly when I was thinking of openers, I was like, yes, we've got one opener who is averaging a fuck ton and he is an all-time great as well. So I went with Jack Hobbs. Okay.
Yeah, he was my choice for England as well.
Now, I could do the same thing, Varun. I could go for a weaker team or take a really good player off the list. But you know what? Like, I am fearing you guys to pick someone else at number four.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So just to eliminate that entire ordeal, right, I will go to South Africa and pick Jacques Callis as my next pick. Yeah.
At number four.
Okay, I was not expecting that.
Oh, my God.
Dude, you also get an all-rounder in Jacques Callis as well. And I mean, the record is spectacular in test cricket. Like, test cricket was his best format. 166 test matches, 13,289 runs, an average of 55.37, which is unreal. A ton in his last test match versus India as well. 45 hundreds in total in the format with 58 50s. And that's not just it either, right? Like, you throw in 292 wickets at 32.65, which is a pretty good bowling average, right? Could easily be your fifth bowler. And this team, he might end up being our sixth bowler. And just to check his record at number four, right? 9,033 runs have been scored by Jacques Callis at number four. And his average over there is the most out of all his different batting positions. He's averaging 61.86 at number four, and 35 out of his 45 hundreds have come at that position, along with 36 of his 58 50s. So I looked up all those numbers, obviously, and there are a couple of South African players that we could have gone for, right? But I feel like if we're looking at balance, not Gary Balance, I think Callis fits the bill perfectly.
I had a South African opener. I had Graham Smith as a South African.
Because I was like, I had a South
opening
African,
is just,
yeah.
I couldn't find a lot of great opening options. I want to go away from the strong teams.
I mean, there's one fantastic opening option from India.
Yeah.
There's always that. Anyway, we're back to you, Varun. We're done with Australia.
You said Callis four, right?
Yes. I mean, we could always move him around, but move I had three, thought of Callis.
So I think Flower is five currently.
Yeah, Flower five, Hobbs opening. Glenn McGrath is definitely 11, number 11.
11, yeah.
Yeah, and then you've got Callis at three or four, whatever.
Yeah, so I think I'm just going to, for the sake of the team, I'm going to go for the weak teams again. Mm-hmm. So I'm going Shakib from Bangladesh.
Yeah, good one.
Nice one, yeah. That was my next
Again, pick. Did we have the second option for Bangladesh?
No. It was always going to be Shakib. When I said I'm confused between a stronger team and a weaker team, I was thinking Shakib or Callis. And I was like, you know what? These guys are going to pick someone else in the middle order. So let me secure that position.
So we can either put him at six or seven, depending on who else we pick, right?
What are the numbers like? Because Shakib is a very, very underrated test cricketer. That I know. And his bowling numbers are just terrific.
Yeah, his bowling away from home holds up as well. I think it's it's 30 home and away.
Yeah.
And his batting is really good, right?
Overall, he's got 246 wickets in 71 test matches with his slow left arm bowling. He's averaging 31.72, which is right, like pretty decent, actually very good for a finger spinner. And then as far as runs are concerned, he's got 4,609. His average with the bat is 37.77. 500s, 31.50s. And yes, I mean, if you think of him as an option at six or seven, I feel like there's nowhere else to go, really.
Yeah.
We would have to kind of give him like a few talks on how to control his temper and all of that stuff. So that's it.
But does he qualify to bowl? now.
Ooh. I mean, this is an all-timer sort of team. So let's pick yeah, Prime.
I think he does,
peak,
doesn't he?
Peak Shakib, right? I think he still does. Yeah.
I think he builds.
All right. Yeah. All right. Okay. So I'm not going to go for weak teams. I'm just going to pick obvious picks because that's okay. The easy thing to do. Okay. So I will go with Murali as my next pick. Simple hey. Enough, Sri Lankan pick. Sri Lanka had a few options, right? But I think, and you could be flexible, maybe a Sangha at three if you don't have a three, you know, if you want a left arm or left arm pace bowler, maybe some options. But I thought, given that I'm not allowing anyone to pick Vaughan by taking Murali.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah.
That's a very fair point.
So we should have like one of the two best spinners ever in the side. So I'll go with Murali as my second pick.
What to say about the numbers, really? 800 wickets. But what is the average?
Averaging 22.
That's insane in test cricket.
35, yeah. Yeah. After that unreal. Volume of wickets, right? Mm.
Yeah, there was 602 wickets in Asia, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Something
but
like
But then
that,
again,
yeah.
you know.
Utterly ridiculous.
It might not surprise you guys that I did have Sangha as my Sri Lankan pick in this team. But I do actually think that Muthiah Muralidharan is the best test cricketer to have ever come out of Sri Lanka, or even the best cricketer, period, right? So it makes sense to have him. Mm-hmm. And especially, as Estelle said, she's, you know, deprived us from Vaughan. So we need one of those two guys in there. So
but
Murali
we do
makes
have
sense.
A problem with who is number 11. That's the next question.
That is a big problem, actually. McGrath over Murali? I don't know. Actually, don't know the correct answer over there.
I'm Murali at 10 right now, but I mean, we can switch things around. Okay, so my next pick, I will go for another easy one. I go Kane Williamson, number 3, New Zealand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, again, because I had Sangha at number 3, I actually had Hadley from New Zealand, but I'm fine with Kane at 3.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Players. Sorry. Yeah, go ahead, Varun.
No, sorry, you're saying.
No, I was going to say, like, of the modern players, he's the one who's really shone at number 3. Like, everyone's moved to kind of number 4, that position. But he's kind of held the fort for New Zealand in that position. 8,600 runs, averaging 57, 31 hundreds in 95 tests. So I think the record is pretty great for that type of role that you want him to play.
And whilst an average of 57 is absolutely, like, phenomenal. It's right up there with the very best that we've ever seen. Actually, 57 is quite high, you know, because Sangha's 57 as well. Yeah. The only caveat, I suppose, which Jared always loves to bring up, is that he struggled versus the best teams. But then again, I feel like from New Zealand, you only had like 2 to 3 options tops, and Kane is one of them. So got no issues. Mm. So what do we have now?
Yes.
Estelle, can you read out our team?
So basically, we have Hobbs opening, then we've got Callis at 3 or 4, Fly at 5, sorry, not 3 or 4, just at 4, Callis, Williamson at 3, Flower at 5, then Shakib, I put him down at 7, but he could be 6 as well, Murali and McGrath, 10 and 11. So we need another opener, we need probably one more middle order bat or a proper all-rounder and a couple of bowlers.
All right. Okay, Varun, you want to go and take that Indian opener?
And
then?
The teams available. India, Afghanistan, West Indies.
So we have India. West Indies, of
We have
course.
India. Ireland.
Yeah, yeah. Ireland.
Pakistan.
Afghanistan. Yep. Sorry, Pakistan. Pakistan's the other one. Yes,
those are the one, Afghanistan. It's shaping up quite nicely. I think we're doing a good job over here.
It is a very good site.
We won't get a lot of cusses in the comment section for this one, I reckon.
Other reasons, but maybe not for the video, but other reasons.
Yeah, of course. Those reasons are always there. Anyway, so just before you go for your next pick, Varun, I think it is time for us to take a break. You guys are watching the Crick Picks podcast with Behram, Varun, and Estelle, and we will be back in like 30 seconds tops. So see you soon. Go nowhere.
Brian Lara used pot plants to work on his placement. John Wright glued his glove to his bat. Sachin Tendulkar dug up practice pitches. Tatenda Taibu cut the top off his bat. Claire Taylor used a hockey grip. Steve Smith was from tennis. Dean Jones would call phantom runs. And Victor Trumpa turned the Nets into a war zone to survive. The best batters in the world do whatever they have to make runs. We have told their stories in our new book, The Art of Batting.
Welcome back to the Crick Picks podcast. You guys are with Behram, Varun and Estelle. And we are currently creating or drafting an all-time global test team. And half of it is complete, I reckon, guys, isn't it? We are 6 out of 12.
We have 7.
Yeah. Oh, we have 7. So Australia, seven. Yeah. Okay. Australia, Zimbabwe, South Africa, New Zealand. Who else England. Do we have?
England.
And Bangladesh.
Bangladesh.
Bangladesh, yeah. Yep.
Those are off the table. Varun has his third pick coming up, and I'm curious to see where he goes with this.
So I think you picking Callis is actually helpful here because I'm going with another weak team.
Okay.
So I'm going Afghanistan. I'm going Rashid Khan at number 8 in this scene.
All right. Yeah.
Checks out. Again, I mean, who else?
There
else
is again no other answer, right? Yeah. So because we have two spinners, I think having Callis does help in
yes.
this case.
Mm. Plus, yeah, now yes, you yeah. have... an off spinner, right arm off spinner, the best one ever. And, you know, Rashid Khan is still a very, very potent wrist spinner, right? And I mean, from what I recall, his test numbers are pretty good. Let me check real quick.
Are they?
Yeah, he's got 45 wickets. 45 wickets yeah. in 6 test matches at 20.44. Mm. And I know, of course, you know, you have to take those numbers with an ounce of salt. Mm. But still, whoever you're playing, if you've taken 45 wickets in 6 test matches, yeah. and I remember he failed in his first test versus India.
Yeah, he got smashed over by India.
He didn't do well. So those are basically...
still incredible after that.
Yeah. All of those wickets have come in 5 test matches, essentially. I think it's still spectacular. Yeah. Like, you have to hand it to him. It's not his fault he doesn't get to play this format a lot.
Yeah, and it's agreed. There's no other pick from Afghanistan, is there? Like, I mean, if you were really, really struggling, maybe you could have picked an opener, but it would have really diminished the quality of the side.
A yes. vibes pick would have been very much a number. I was an opener.
Yeah, that would have been very, very hipster.
Or Mohammed Nabi as the all-rounder.
That wasn't that bad, but we have Shakib, right? So yeah. actually, if you guys think about it, we are completely sorted for spinners. We've got a slow left armer.
Yeah.
We've got a wrist spinner. Mm. And we've got a right arm off spinner who has a dusra. So.
Mm. And you could pick the all-rounder from West Indies if you wanted.
I mean, yep. I could. There's always that option. Mm. And you know what? He fits into the team perfectly as well. So should I just go for it?
Yes.
Man, I have a few other really good players
I wanted to
pick. You've
got 2 picks, so.
Yeah, I do have 2 picks. You know what? Screw it. Let's go for that all-rounder. My third pick is going to be Sir Garfield Sobers from the West Indies. And I mean, the record is just unbelievable. 8,032 runs in 93 test matches. He's averaging 57.78 with the bat. 26 hundreds, 30 50s, so great conversion rate. And one of those 26 hundreds is his 365, which was the highest score in test cricket for a hot minute before the advent of Brian Charles Lara, of course. And as far as his bowling is concerned, he's got 235 wickets at 34 apiece. And as Varun said, he gives us so much flexibility because this is a guy who can bowl left-arm seam and can be a slow left-armer as well. So he's going to be perfect for us or our team. For our team, across all conditions, if the ball is ragging, then you go and tell him to bowl some slow left arm stuff. And obviously, if it's a seam friendly pitch, then he goes for left arm pace. But yes, I feel like there were 3 or 4 very solid options for the West Indies and we've picked the right one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because our team combination kind of required someone to come in at 6 and be a batter who averages nearly 58 and then also a very splendid bowler.
Yeah, he gives you a lot of options. Without him, it's very spin friendly, right? We don't have.
Yeah.
We only pick McGrath or maybe Callis, but he gives you that like extra flexibility.
Yep, absolutely. So my picks have been Callis, Hobbs, Sobers, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because I've gone for 2 of the greatest all rounders to have ever played the sport or grace the format, and I've gone for arguably, you know, one of the best openers as well, or unarguably one of the best openers. Now I'm confused. Okay. For my last pick, I could go either India or Pakistan. But Varun, I'm really confused with Pakistan. There are 2 players who both make sense, right? It really depends on what you want for this team, right? And I mean, obviously one of them is a better cricketer, but maybe the other one makes more sense. I don't know the answer to these questions. So I'm sorry. I'm just going to go ahead and take India off the table. Then actually, no, I can't do that either. I can't do that because we might need a bowler from India then.
No, we got it either way. You're going for Paolo from Pakistan.
What's our bowling attack?
So we have our bowling attack is Rashid, Murali, McGrath, Shakib, Sobers, Callis.
Callis.
Yeah, see, that is tough now because we don't have frontline seamers and our team is about to end, right?
Both the Pakistanis are great bowlers, so I think you have a
point. Yeah, they are both great bowlers. It's just, it's a tough one.
You're making this hard for yourself.
I'll go for the Indian opener, man. I could go for the Indian opener and leave this tough choice for Varun. Okay, let's do it. I will go for Sunil Gavaskar as my last pick. And of course, you know, both of our openers are averaging over 50 with the bat now. Sunil Gavaskar, of course... In fact, the
top six are all averaging 50, Bairam.
Yes, that's true, actually. Sunny G, of course, played 125 test matches, 10,122 runs to his name, 34 hundreds, 45 50s, a batting average of 51.12. Spectacular, really. And in my perfect 12, I had Gavaskar and Hobbs opening. So yeah, I mean, that's an easy one to take off the table. And India's also done now. So Varun, I suppose you can go ahead and make that very difficult choice between the two Pakistanis then.
Or you can leave Pakistan out of it and pick an Irish number 8.
The Irish one is very obvious, isn't it? It's like a Shakib type pick.
Is it obvious for me? I was like, I don't even know.
Yeah, I'm just glad I'm done. My job in this podcast is over.
I'm great. I'll tell you that.
Okay.
I think let me actually go for at least one good team pick.
Yeah.
Because you've like taken the bullet for us, right? You've picked all the like the weak teams.
So, all right. So Pakistan. So let's actually discuss this. So we have Wasim Akram or Imran Khan, right? I don't actually think there's a lot between them with the ball. I think you could argue Imran's a better bowler as well, right?
Yeah. So with Imran, you get better batting, of course, and obviously he's a grade A fast bowler as well. In fact, his average bowling average is better than Wasim's. But with Waz, you get the left arm angle. I don't know.
Also captaincy in something that you consider.
Ooh, yeah, I mean, if we are Sobers, considering right? that, we have Sobers, but I don't know, man. Imran is probably a pretty solid option.
Screw it. I'm picking Imran Khan. Okay. Move Imran to 7 and Shakib at 8. Rashid Khan 9.
This team basically just bats forever. I personally would
tell you what
Waz,
this is a Gautam Gambhir's red dream. Yeah. That's what this is.
It's a tough one, you know. To
but
pick
I think all
Imran
our all-time teams are like that because guys like Imran Khan and Sobers always make it, right? So,
yeah.
Yes. I mean, that automatically extends your batting lineup.
Remember that cricket is a funny game. 100 years before we protected our head, players looked after their groins. So don't be as stupid as old cricketers. Protect your computer now. NordVPN is the protection I use when facing cyber shortballs or when rights issues try to dismiss me. Geo-block so you can watch all the cricket you want. Grab your NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/Kimber.
Yeah, I would have gone Wasim, but we have Sobers who gives you left-arm seam anyway. And according to Jared, like he averages like 27 as a left-arm seamer, right?
That's true.
You'll take... I don't think it matters much. And Imran Khan is one of... Again, a very underrated bowler. Like, it's funny we have both Imran and Kallis because Imran is the most overrated batter and the most underrated bowler ever. And Kallis is the most underrated batter and the most overrated bowler ever. So it's... It's a very good mix.
Yeah. And Imran obviously has that hot streak, right? Lasted a decade. He played 51 test matches where he averaged under 20 with the ball and over 50 with the bat, which is honestly a hot streak or a peak that is unheard of. But just to look at his overall numbers as well, a lot of people ask me, you know, is Jacques Kallis the best cricketer to have ever played? And Ricky Ponting definitely holds that opinion. But I always counter that by saying, personally, for me, I probably take Sobers and Imran ahead of Kallis. And if you've got a bowler like Imran, who's got 362 wickets in 88 test matches, at an average of 22.81, it's hard to argue because 22 or anything under 23 is just unreal numbers at that point. And even with the bat...
Also, bowlers win more matches than batters. They have to be the better cricketers. That's also true.
But even with the bat, 3,807 runs at 37.69. So he's basically a Shakib-level batter as well. But there is a caveat, right? He's a not-out merchant, isn't he, Varun?
Yeah, a bit of it. I'm not usually bothered by the not outs because I'm like, okay.
I mean, isn't that the purpose of batting, to not get out?
Not just that, because like mathematically, like not outs don't help your average more than like a double century across your whole career.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm not too bothered by it.
Okay.
Right. So I think the way we see it, like with Kallis, like he gave South Africa the ability to not lose for like a few years, whereas Imran basically gave Pakistan the ability to win for a lot of years, right?
That's true.
If you look at the 80s, look at how many games they win versus West Indies based on Imran, on his own.
True.
Right?
Yeah, I suppose it's... Yeah, I mean, plus, we are batting forever, so maybe this team could even bat quickly if it wants to. But Estelle, I don't think the Irish pick is obvious anymore because we are a little light on seam bowling.
Yeah, actually...
Are we light on seam bowling?
We are a bit light. I mean, Callis is supposed to be our sixth bowler.
Yeah. But I think if you look at the team, the only differences I had is probably I didn't pick Callis. I had Smith and I had Tendulkar instead of Callis. So... I could probably stick to the same person I had picked originally, which is Mark Adair, because he gives you a bit of, he's like, if you really want to replace Shakib in the side, you could probably bring him at 8 since Shakib's batting at 8 in this side anyway. So
we've got Glenn McGrath, Imran Khan, Garfield Sobers and Jacques Callis. I think the fast bowling is a bit light, guys.
Yeah, so Mark Adair is your...
fast bowling, right?
Wait, Mark Adair is not a fast bowler, is he?
He's a
Markadere
fast
is like, he's, is sorry, a fast medium.
Bowler.
Yeah. He's fast as like medium, probably. Yeah.
I mean,
medium
you could have gone a bit in the past and picked up the OG from Ireland, but he never played test cricket for them, did he?
Fast
bowler, Boyd Rankin. I don't think he might have, missed out on test
maybe
cricket.
Maybe one.
I also had Lachlan Tucker as the 12th man.
Lachlan Tucker was the other option, right? By far, like the best record with the bat. But Adair's got, so Adair's record is 25 wickets in 7 tests, averaging 28, right? And he has won 5 wicket haul. And he's 250s to his name as well. So he's averaging 28 with the bat as well.
He has one versus Basketball England. I don't remember that.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. Timmy Murta was an option. I don't know if Rankin played for Ireland in test cricket or not. I know he played for England. He won a cap over there. And who else, really?
Kevin O'Brien was my original option
because I had Hadley in there, right? So I had Hadley, McGrath, and Wasim in my best perfect.
Boyd Rankin does play for Ireland.
Oh.
Yeah, I think he played 1 or 2 tests. Maybe
one for England, 2 for Ireland.
Okay.
How did he fare in those 2 tests for Ireland?
For Ireland, he averaged 31. And in the 1 test for England, he averaged 81.
Can you do some quick numbers for us and check who is the best performing fast bowler for Ireland, like in history in test cricket?
It is Adair.
It must be Adair. Yeah.
If it's Adair, then it's the perfect pick.
Yeah.
So Adair's got 25 wickets. Yeah. I think Andy McBride has 25 as well, but averaging 41. So, And right considering, it was basically on the all-round option as well. Like, if you really need to replace Shakib for a medium pacer, then you can bring Adair.
Yeah, probably might as well, I guess. I don't even know.
The only flaw in our team that I find is that test matches are won by taking 20 wickets and it's like our team can just bat forever, you know?
Yeah, but they can take 20 wickets too. Like, they've got McGrath, Murali, Rashid Khan, Shakib, Imran Khan, Sobers, Callis.
Yeah, actually, they can.
That attack's taking 20 wickets, right?
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, it's taking 20 wickets.
I think it checks out. It is insane on batting depth, but then again, enough in the
It's simply because, when you pick, a Sobers or Imran Khan, that's, you're picking them for one skill, but they offer you, 90% of the second, right?
So with McGrath and Murali, you have at worst 2 of the top 5 bowlers of all time. Right? Imran is probably in the top 10.
Yeah.
So it's not a bad team, right? We've seen teams with, 3 great bowlers dominate attacks.
And
Murali, how many wickets does Murali take on his own for Sri Lanka?
Yeah,
that's true. I mean, we all remember that test match in England, right? Which is in Jared's book, of course, Overthrowing Cricket's Empire.
Do you remember it, Biram?
I don't remember it, but I've seen enough footage on it, Estelle. You, of course, remember Craig McDermott playing. So, but anyway, I think we've done all right over here, guys. So, Estelle, if you could tell us entire 12 and then everyone's individual picks as well.
All right. So, we got Jack Hobbs from England. Sunil Gavaskar from India, Kane Williamson, New Zealand, Jack Callis, South Africa, Andy Flower, Zimbabwe, who will be keeping, Gary Sobers at 6 for West Indies, Imran Khan, Pakistan, number 8, Shakib Al Hasan, Bangladesh, number 9, Rashid Khan, Afghanistan, number 10, Muthiah Muralidharan, Sri Lanka, and number 11, Glenn McGrath, Australia, 12th will be Mark Adair from Ireland. And our individual picks, so I went with Glenn McGrath, Murali, Kane Williamson, and Adair.
Strong.
Varun went with Andy Flower, Shakib Al Hasan, Rashid Khan, and Imran Khan. And Biram went with Jack Hobbs, Callis, Sobers, and Sunny Gavaskar.
It's a tough one, guys. I think we all did quite well. The thing with Varun is I feel like he's gotten the best players from all of those countries, right? So it's actually quite a strong claim, even though he's gone for the weaker nations, but it's like they're all-time greats, the goats from those nations. I got the easiest draw over here because I was like third pick and I was also done with my duties early and I got all good teams, so I'm not complaining. But we'll let you guys, our viewers and listeners, decide who wins this bout of Crick Picks and let us know what you would have done differently for this team. In fact, do one thing. In the comments section, give us your global all-time test teams as well. We'd love to compare them. And if we miss someone, made a glaring mistake or something, let us know as well. That kind of wraps this up. And thanks, guys. I think we've never had this much consensus on a Crick Picks, like, ever. We're all happy. That never happens.
That's because anyway. Jared's not here to shit on any of our picks.
Yeah.
I was going to say exactly that. You know,
that's true. Very, very true. Anyway, that wraps up this episode of the Crick Picks podcast. Just a quick reminder for you guys, you can go to goodareas.co and bookmark that webpage, and that can prove to be your one-stop shop for all the fun work that we do as part of this team, whether it be written content, podcasts, or videos. We'll see you soon enough on a Footmarks or a Kimapa show or another one of our shows. But that's all for today, folks. Have a good one and goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bahram Kazi and Estelle Vassadevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.